So, everybody, we went to go see the Captain America 2 movie this week, and I met Jason and Damon over there at the Nacho Mama in front of the palace, or in on Clearview.
Elmwood, yeah.
Yeah. And we, as we're walking out, we run into Rob Ryan, who's walking in. He's coming in. We're leaving. We're going to see the movie. So we go walk up to Rob Ryan, and I says to the guy, "Let me tell you." I says to the guy, "All right, so we're up here and we're walking to Rob Ryan, right?" I says to the guy, I go up to him and I go up to, it's Rob Ryan is coming in the Nacho Mama, and you know what I says to the guy? It's Rob Ryan. We're in Nacho Mama. We're supposed to go see Captain America too, but as we're leaving this place and we've got 10 minutes to go, I says to the guy, I see Rob Ryan as we're walking out. He's walking in. I says to the guy,
You saw Rob Ryan?
yes, I did.
Huh. I saw Rob Ryan. I was there with you.
Well, did you what did you say what you said to him?
Well, I says to the guy. I mean, I just.
What'd you say to the guy?
I think I said, "Hey, coach."
I says, to, "Well, you said, hey, coach." Well, you know what I said to him?
What'd you say to him?
I says to the guy, I'm like, okay, so when you said, hey, we're walking out, you say, hey, coach. I think Damon said, what did Damon say? He says,
Damon
oh,
said.
hey, it's Coach Ryan. And I'm walking past him, and I says to the guy, I look at him right in his eye, and I says to the guy, "You said, hey, coach." He says, "There's Rob Ryan, Coach Ryan." I says to the guy, I pat him on the shoulder as I'm walking past him, and I says to the guy, "Here we are. We're leaving the place. He's walking in. We're going to see a movie. We don't have a lot of time." But I says to the guy. What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. My drunk scale rating right now, I'm going to go with a 2, borderline 3. I've been sipping on a martini waiting for Jason to be ready. I don't know what he was doing. Maybe we'll find out. But, all right, so not much major news. Well, I don't know. Maybe there has been major
news. Actually has been a fair bit of news since we...
Since we last did
since
it.
Since we recorded and were able to keep the recording.
Well, yeah, but anyway, we have a good debate about Champ Bailey coming up, but Damon's not here to defend his point, so it's a one-sided debate.
Ha-ha!
We also... Jason wins by default. So, in addition to Saints talk, we have a little bit of other stuff that we might talk about. Are you still going to talk about golf?
Yeah, the Masters is this week.
All right, you got the Masters, we got the Walking Dead finale, which it might be a little... late to talk about that, but we did go see the Captain America 2 movie, and we'll talk a little bit about that.
Game of WrestleMania, I went to last night.
Oh, you went to WrestleMania. Game of Thrones premiered. You haven't watched it, so it's going to be weird to talk about that.
What's
other than it was awesome. But it's a veritable potpourri of topics this week. So put on your seatbelts, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, speaking of the show, welcome to it. What's your number?
Probably just the 1.5.
Hmm.
Climbing a little bit.
What'd you do tonight?
I had a
softball, right?
Yeah, I played softball.
And then?
Came home, ate dinner, watched The Ultimate Warrior on TV, and sat down at the computer.
So, wait, the reason we're late tonight is because you watched Ultimate Warrior on TV?
No, I was ready by 9:00. I mean, I came home from softball. I didn't get home until like 8:30, so I changed, made food, and...
All right.
Okay, 9:00.
All right. And
at least I'm here, unlike a certain other person.
Yeah, we're waiting on Damon. He's supposed to be here later, I guess.
It's been a while.
And it'll be a while. And we got a question from one of our Twitter followers that we'll answer. So that's exciting and new.
Is it first?
And it's not Neil.
That's first.
Well, it's not first as far as our agenda, but it is a first of a non-Neil Twitter question.
Whew.
If that makes sense.
I gotcha.
To Neil, it makes sense. Neil's been quiet for a while. I'm hoping he's all right. Oh,
he's busy.
Well, he's got a baby on the way.
That's right. That's right. Can't be worrying about some American podcast.
Well, he might be because he's naming his child after the Dome Patrol podcast.com. That actually would be a good name. He should name his child Dome Patrol Podcast, middle name.
.com.
Last name, whatever Neil's last name is.
McCullough.
McCullough. Yeah. If that's his real last name.
I don't think that would fly. Just a hunch.
Hi, what's your name? I'm DomePatrolPodcast.com.
That would probably be the worst name in history of names. And there's some bad names.
I don't know.
Gwyneth Paltrow's kid's name is Apple. Really? Apple?
Let's hold off on the Champ Bailey debate then. In the meantime, okay, so from the last time we recorded, so this might be old news to you guys, but you care what our opinion is because the difference is that we don't break the news, we comment on it. And I think that's actually more important because everybody's in a rush to be first, but nobody cares about being right. So here we are. We're going to wait until the news and the dust settles, and we're going to talk about it then. So the Saints signed Canadian Football League safety Marcus Ball.
Hey, buddy.
Fuck Canada.
Hey, fuck you, buddy.
But he's not the only Canadian Football League player that we've signed this year. We've also signed Darius Brooks this offseason. But let's talk about Marcus Ball played the same role that Roman Harper did for the Saints. So like what I mean by that is on the team that he
on his Canadian team
in Canada. Essay. Yeah. He pretty much had the same.
So he played a safety.
A blitzing safety, I think.
Okay.
Or a hard hitting. Like he wasn't covering anybody. Let's put it that way. I don't think he's your cover guy.
Guess not. We'll see.
Wait, your job is to comment on him. That's all.
Sorry. I had to regame it. I feel like it's been so long since we signed him. Like it's already old news because it has been kind of.
But what's the thing of him? I mean, how do you?
Well, I know we have to talk about it, but it's a 3-year deal.
Well, but that's the beauty of it. Like everybody's hyped up on him. So now that the hype is there, is gone. How do you really feel about him? I mean, it's probably pretty much like okay.
Well, it was when we signed him.
Guy's gonna do anything yet? I mean, we haven't seen him play.
They saw a guy they liked. They plucked him. They obviously thought he had some skills. They signed him to a 3-year deal. So we just kind of assumed.
3 years is a lot for. Seeing him play in the NFL, right?
Well, and then we just kind of assumed that, all right, well, Raphael Bush.
Or you can cut him whenever you want.
Is it going to be back? But then, so then they signed Champ Bailey, and then today they decide to keep.
Well, you just stole every fucking talking point.
I mean, well, because it matters. How we think of Ball, like we thought, okay, well, Ball was going to take the Raphael Bush spot.
So let's just talk about the secondary.
Crazy. Crazy that we just keep. We got 4 safeties, 5 safeties. What do we have now? We just compiled. Well, we got
Kenny Vaccaro, Champ Bailey, Marcus Ball, Raphael Bush. Who's Jared number 5?
Bird.
Oh, Jairus Bird's a safety? I didn't know that.
Oh, you mean Jay Bird?
Hey!
No, he's not a safety, but he's in the secondary. I mean, Bailey's not a safety.
Sorry, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But there's stock in the secretary. It was nice to kind of fuck Atlanta.
Well, but I guess the interesting point that our listeners don't know is that when we recorded last week, that we did a recording of the show last week, and it didn't record. So we're doing a re-recording of that. But obviously, new news has broken since we did that. So it's different. But
things change, Mox.
So when we originally recorded, we were high on this Ball signing. We were like, oh my god, it's gonna be awesome. But I think we got caught up in the trap of hype. The hype, we got caught on the hype train. We bought a ticket and we rode the train. But now that the dust is settling, it's like I'm looking at it like, okay, Marcus Ball, fine, great. Maybe it's almost like a draft pick. We don't know what we're gonna get out of him. We haven't seen the guy play in training camp or anything yet. They're just bringing a body in. And, yeah, you sign him to a cheap 3-year deal because if he works out, you keep him cheap. If he doesn't, you cut him. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, I agree. It just with the
– So I think you just manage expectations there, which is why they brought in Champ Bailey.
Which it – I mean, I know we're going to – I mean, Damon's not going to make the show, so we're going to have to talk about him.
Okay.
He's gonna add depth, but whether he's a starter or not, I don't think that's guaranteed. You know, I'm.
Well, you know what he's going to give is that we cut a lot of veteran leadership off of our defense. And if anything, he's going to replace your Vilma,
Smith, Harper, all the guys we cut.
Yeah, your veteran leadership. And he's going to be our player coach. If anything, that's what he's going to do.
Well,
which I think is worth the money that we're going to pay him.
Paid him a nice little chunk of change.
You got to have a veteran leader on the team. And who better than a fucking 12-time pro? Instant credibility.
Well, let's hope he stays healthy. That's the big thing with him. He only played 5 regular season games last year. He did play, you know, in the playoffs in the Super Bowl, but he's going to be 35, 36. So we'll see what he still has left.
How old was Sharper when he was playing with us before he was raping women?
Probably 33, 34, 35, somewhere in there.
All right.
But it's a discipline. I mean, well, he's playing safety. He's playing safety. Champ's going to be starter or nickel. I don't know that he's necessarily going to be the starter. I still think they draft another cornerback in the draft for sure.
You can start maybe Raphael Bush.
A cornerback, though? And he plays safety. But we might just say fuck it and play and start off the game with 3 safeties.
Sean Payton has been known to shift.
It's Rob Ryan. Rob Ryan loves safeties. You know, like we may just play 3 or.
That was Greg Williams that shifted Malcolm Jenkins. But,
you know? They're just loading up back there. That's I'll tell you what, it gets me
play, right?
It gets me excited for the season, though.
Well, and I will say one thing about Marcus Ball from the Canadian Football League. He was kind of like a turnover kind of guy.
Okay.
I believe that, and now I'm going back to something I read a week ago, whether it was him or. But I think it was him that they were talking about how what they were excited about him is that he creates turnovers, which is something that Rob Ryan's defense, while being number 4 in the NFL last year, didn't do.
Well, that's also the reason why you bring in a guy like Bird.
Right.
Bailey. I mean, that's what you do. You see.
You mean Jay Bird?
I mean Jay Bird. You see where your weaknesses are. And I mean, look, all the moves have been in the secondary. We haven't done anything.
Right.
Look to the linebacking core or the defensive line.
It's a passing lead. Well, our line doesn't need any help. Okay. Do you agree or disagree? Our defensive line.
I think we'd be okay with. I mean, with what we've got now, I'd be okay with it.
I mean, you put a little depth behind it, sure.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, you had a draft pick or something.
What about linebackers?
I'm okay. I mean, we get Victor Butler back. You know, we get Victor Butler back and.
No, there's your – yeah, there's your
– that's your free agent acquisition right there.
There you go. Boom. So, yeah, all you got to do is beef up your secondary.
Mm-hmm. Which they've obviously done.
All right, so
– man, that's just – thing. God, it does get me fired up for the season, but it's still like 5 months away.
All right. Oh, something else. Paris Harrelson re-signed, speaking of the –
there's your linebacker.
Yeah. So you got Victor Butler and Paris Harrelson coming – well, Paris coming back. I don't think Paris played – did he play a lot last year? I don't remember seeing
him. Yeah, I mean, he played a good deal.
Okay.
So you've got – yeah, you'll have Lofton, you'll have Hawthorne, you'll have Butler, you'll have Harrelson. We still got old Rufus Johnson.
Rufus Johnson. I thought they got rid of him because of his name.
You can't get rid of a guy who played at Tarleton State. So who knows what he's got. He was a project from the get-go, so –
All right.
He could be another, you know, like Hicks, kind of a project, and you work with him and see, or Gillette, and see what you got.
Wait, who's our defensive line coach? Did we get somebody new last year, or
I think we still have the same guy that we've had
for you,
Bill Johnson, I think is his name, the guy who screamed down or up one tie game in the Super Bowl. You got to be kidding me, you know, from the clip from the Super Bowl. I think it's that same guy.
Oh yeah, I love that guy.
You remember.
I know who you're talking about.
Okay.
I love that guy.
All right.
I love him. Every time I ever see – you know, you don't see a lot of these guys on the sideline. But when you do see them
– Look at these guys.
Yes, you did.
You did say these guys.
That is awesome. That – I got to tell you something. Bill Johnson's my favorite defensive line coach ever.
Okay.
I don't know any.
I couldn't tell you any other Saints
coach, right? I am so glad that I find. Well, here's the thing. So I told you my kids always watch the 2009 Super Bowl DVD yearbook.
Do you like black out the clips of like Sharper? Do you like stand over it and like put somebody else?
No, I still
like a black box on his head.
No, I look. If it wasn't for him, we don't win the Super Bowl. We don't get to the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, so you give credit where it's due. But I just, when the kids get excited about him, I try and divert their attention to something else. But I like oh well, now we have Jay Bird. Let's not cheer for Sharper. Let's cheer for Jay Bird. Or Champ Bailey now, I told them about. But anyway, on the yearbook DVD, there's a couple of scenes where Bill Johnson's on the sideline coaching up the line.
Right.
And I love watching the guy. And what I love especially, this is what I love about him.
So I love the guy.
I like that there was a moment where he was talking to the guys, and then Greg Williams comes up to talk to the guys. And he stopped in mid-track and let his boss, in a sense, right? He let Greg Williams talk. And he looked up at Greg Williams as though, like, and looked at the guys kind of like, listen to him. You know what I mean? Like, he respects the chain of command. And his job is to execute Greg Williams' plan.
Not anymore.
Today it's to execute Rob Ryan's plan. And that's why he's a great coach, because he executes his boss's plan so well.
Same thing with
Johnson, coach of the year.
All right. Oh, hey, I love – if that's the case, then we got good things afoot.
Right. That was a little unexpected divergence on Bill Johnson.
Bill Johnson.
You know what I'm thinking? What's that Saturday Night Live skit?
Are you talking about Bill Brasky?
Oh, yeah.
I know Bill Brasky.
Then let me buy you around. Easy, Hank, easy. To Bill Brasky!
Hey, you ever go camping with Brasky?
Horror! Many times. I went camping with Brasky, his wife, and his daughter, Debbie.
Debbie Brasky?
Debbie Brasky. She's 7 years old, goes about 3'9", 55 pounds. Right. So, I'm in the back of a pickup with Bill Brasky and a live deer. Well, Brasky, he grabs the deer by the antlers, looks at it, and says, I'm Bill Brasky, say it. Then he squeezes the deer in such a way that a sound comes out of its mouth, Bill Brasky. It wasn't exactly it, but it was pretty good for a deer.
That's Bill Brasky.
You know, I once saw him eat a whole live chicken. His favorite movie is One-on-One with Robbie Benson. Bill Brasky made me a videotape of him having sex with my wife, and it was the most beautiful damn thing I've ever seen.
I have that tape.
So do I.
To Bill Brasky.
To Bill Brasky.
Bill Johnson.
All right. Okay, so we talked about Champ. So did we really fully cover Champ Bailey? The only thing I'd throw out there, I know you're a little – you're
I'm not against him.
I know you're not against him.
It's when people hear Champ Bailey, they think all pro.
No, I'm looking at it like it's depth, it's veteran leadership, and if he's healthy – it's better than Corey White.
It's a solid move.
Actually, unhealthy, he's better than Corey White.
No.
Come on.
Corey White's still young.
Whatever. Corey, yeah, young, but sucks.
Well, which just means he can't get better, right?
No. He's had a chance to get better, and he hasn't gotten better.
You give him 2 years. Careers aren't made in 2 years.
Okay, well.
He may not be a Champ Bailey, but he could be serviceable.
Raphael Bush.
Well, yeah. Well, now that we got him, it's amazing that they, you know, quote unquote, up against the cap, but matched the Falcons' offer, and it's nice to see all the Falcon fans just fucking hurt, just fucking pissed off, and all the shit like, oh, where'd they get that money? It's FEMA money. Like, come on.
Oh my God, get over yourselves.
You know, it's fucking Falcons. Like, thank God, us as Saints fans are not Falcon fans. Think about how miserable your life would be if you were a Falcon fan.
You're talking about all, like, seven people over there.
Man.
There's not a lot of them. But all right, so Raphael Bush does bring up an interesting conversation because, yeah, we were hoping to like let him shop and then have him come back, I think, for not a lot of money. And I wonder if the Falcons drove the price up on purpose, knowing that we wouldn't let him go there.
No, I don't think so. Really? I mean, have you seen their safeties?
I guess
I don't know who's going to start at safety for them. They wanted to sign him away from us.
Good.
I mean, if they didn't, then what does that say about your
team? And that's kind of why, right, that's why I think a lot of your articles today or yesterday are talking about the Saints couldn't afford to let him go, and they're not talking money. They're talking you can't afford to let him go to Atlanta. Like I think Mickey would have let him walk to a non-division rival.
I don't know. I think if you really wanted him back and you thought the price was okay and you could fit it, you'd do it. I mean, if that's what they think they need to win a Super Bowl, that's not going to change their mind if whatever team it is. I mean, I'm sure they would rather it's not Atlanta, but I don't think that's as much of a factor as you think it is. They re-signed him because they said they think they needed him. It's simple as that. It's only otherwise you just let him go. Who cares who he goes to? You're gonna beat him. I mean,
I get what you're saying, but I also think that
you just think it's a nice fuck you, Atlanta.
Well,
which would be one of the coolest things. Like
the conspiracy theorist in me says that, like, I mean, because I look at it like if I'm a GM, I'm not letting Atlanta take anybody from my team. That I'm not willing to. You know what I mean? Like, there's a certain, like, I'm not letting him take Raphael Bush. Like, I know you need a safety.
But that also means
and I'm not letting you have him. You got to go fucking draft somebody because I'm about to burn your ass with Drew Brees.
But you also have to want to keep Raphael Bush.
Oh, well, that's the thing. I mean, Raphael Bush is the kind
of guy that's more.
Yeah, I'll keep, like, this guy is good enough to where he's going to make your defense too good for me to be comfortable. And whether he's a backup guy, look, answer me this, Batman, or what is it? Riddle me this, Batman. When's the last time the Saints finished their season with the same guys that started in their secondary?
I bet it hadn't been that long. Probably 2011 at least.
Secondary sure seems to get hurt a lot. So if Raphael Bush,
which again is another reason why the Saints wanted to keep
Bush as the next man up.
Well, that factors into the Saints wanted to keep him. They didn't want to let him go. It's more about them wanting to keep him than.
Well, then why didn't they keep him for less? Or was he a free agent?
They offered him a tender. They offered him a low tender, okay, Hoping they could get him back for cheap. And Atlanta decided to offer a little more, and we just said, no, fuck you.
Okay, gotcha. So that leads to the question then.
Which maybe they thought they had the money because De La Puente is no longer a Saint.
That's right.
Which was he signed with Chicago, and he didn't even sign to be the starter, which is, I mean, it's kind of weird.
Well,
right? I mean, he's going to be backing up a guy.
What's his name? The Aaron Cromer.
I mean, unless obviously maybe the Saints just really didn't want him, because why else would he leave to be a backup?
Well, our offensive line wasn't the highlight last year, so maybe he was part of the problem that we don't even realize. Something we don't see as fans.
Possibly, very possibly. So now you're looking at your boy, the Lolito Burrito, or if they sign somebody, it's
Goodwin,
if they draft somebody. I mean, who knows? The draft is in a month.
But all right, so the money about Raphael Bush leads us to a question, a Twitter question coming from @bmore_hootat. So bmore hootat. He wants us to answer the question: how is Mickey Loomis, aka Harry Potter, the Boy Wizard, gonna recover the cap he needs? And I'm assuming he's talking about to sign Jimmy Graham.
He'll find a way. That's what he does, man.
But how?
You either, well, depending on Jimmy's deal, you structure it so that it's worth less than what his cap hold is now, which is $7.5 million. That's his franchise.
Yeah.
If you can get him, say,
7 million, 7.03.
Right. If you can get his cap figure this year at, say, 4.5, then there's your money to sign your rookies. And that's assuming you don't cut anybody else. I mean, they could decide to restructure somebody. They could cut Bunkley. I mean, there's other moves they can make, and they they may have to make, but you know what? Who cares? You know, Mickey will find a way. That's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
We are not going to be over the cap. Mickey will find a way to make it work.
Well, yeah, I mean, because even if we leave him under the tag, which we could all year, right? I mean,
technically,
$7.035 million against the cap, which we can afford.
If we do leave him under the tag, though, we will have to restructure somebody else to sign rookies.
Okay. But then I was reading something from Mike Triplett saying that we can keep his 2014 cap cost at that rate or lower, even if they sign him to a deal worth more than $10 million a year. So,
well, no, it doesn't have to
saying,
be. No.
I think what you were saying is that no matter what deal you sign him, it's what you count against the cap this year.
Which is the same
that deal.
Which is that's what they did with Jay Bird.
Jay Bird. You mean Jarius Jairus?
Yes. Yes, that's what I mean. Yeah, his cap figure is only 3.5 this year. If they do the same thing with Graham, we'll be fine. And that's what Mickey's doing. You know, that's what Mickey does. That's why Benson trusts him, and he has brought this franchise its only Super Bowl. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing a lot more than fucking Dimitroff in Atlanta.
And that's why at @bmore_hudat called him Harry Potter the Boy Wizard.
He is, man. It's magic, man.
You, in your question, you cited, and I'm talking to @bmorehudat. In your question, you answered yourself that you believe in Mickey Loomis's ability to make it happen. Just because you or I or Jason or Damon or anybody doesn't understand how it's going to happen, we trust that he's going to make it happen. He's not going to do all this if he doesn't already have it figured out. He's not going to sign Raphael Bush. He's not going to sign Champ Bailey. He's not going to sign all these people if he hasn't already figured out that he's got money reserved for Jimmy Graham somehow. Because letting Jimmy Graham go would be outrageous.
Mickey will find a way to bring him back, but it does seem like he's, you know, the next 3 or 4 years a breeze. Like, we're just going to go all out for these 4 years. And if we win another Super Bowl, then it was all worth it. Everything that they do, I mean, all these contracts, they're pushing them back, and they're making the run, and that's what you got to do.
Well,
make your run now,
and then dig yourself out of a hole in about 3 years.
Right. Which, you know, in the NFL, you can recover quickly if you have the right people in place.
Mm-hmm.
Turn around. So fuck yeah, make the run do whatever you have to do to get into the Super Bowl.
True.
I don't care what you do, as long as it's under the cap, good.
All right. So I hope we've answered your question.
God, I'm excited for Saints season now. Man, I'm just trying to have a regular offseason, but I can't. One more month until the draft. This will be basically the last offseason I'll have.
Okay.
It's last month.
All right, the next topic, the Saints succession plan. So apparently with Buffalo Bills owner dying and the debacle that is who does the team belong to has brought up a story last week about the Saints succession plan and are we in a good position should Tom Benson die? And let's be honest, could happen any day now. Not that he's showing signs of being old and deadly, but he's old. So the Saints themselves, I believe, released some vision that or statement that should Tom Benson die, there's not going to be the question of ownership transition. Everything's in place that it's going to be good. I mean, the ultimate goal is that it's going to have little impact on the operations of the Saints or the Pelicans, actually. Both franchises are locked into long-term leases with the state of Louisiana, so there's not going to be any risk of when he dies that, oh, will the Saints leave Louisiana? That's not going to be an issue. It's not clear, however, whether it's going to go straight to his daughter Renee Benson or to his granddaughter Rita Benson LeBlanc and her husband Ryan LeBlanc. But whether it's going to be a split or what role Benson's wife Gail's going to have. So it's not exactly clear as far as which of the Bensons and how much percentage each of them will own and who's going to own a controlling interest. But overall, it looks like it's going to stay within the Benson family. Personally, I hope it stays with Rita only because she's the one who stood by his side in 2000 or actually since Katrina and brought Sean Payton on board and all that. So I don't know who Ryan, like, I don't know Ryan. I don't know Renee. I mean, you know Gail, but we know Rita. So you kind of feel like Rita's still going to have at least a public image as part of the transition in the unfortunate event that it happens. But either way, it looks like current management structure would remain intact with Dennis Lauscha as the executive vice president, general manager. Mickey Loomis would serve as key decision makers. So what that says to me is that if he's got Dennis Lauscha and Mickey Loomis in his will, then they're here for the long term, and you almost kind of don't have to worry about Mickey Loomis leaving anytime soon, which is my primary concern as a Saints fan.
So maybe we should do a Dome Patrol checkpoint.
Do you realize how fast you were going, sir?
Yes, I do, and there is an explanation for that. First of all, let me start off by saying I'm
you know, where did I start the show? 2, borderline 3?
In between 2 and 3.
Yeah, I'm probably a 3, borderline 4 at this point.
I'm probably...
I'm an exact full number above where I was.
I might be like a 3.3. Mm-hmm. I'm now drinking cider.
I'm on my second martini, so...
Oh, okay.
That tells you anything.
It tells me that you're drinking a martini?
Yeah. Okay. My second martini.
Oh, right.
All right. And now it's time for a segment that we love, a new segment we love. It's called, Have You Seen This? Have You Heard About This?
Have you heard about this? Have you seen this?
Hey, did you know that Rob Ryan actually coached with Les Miles in 1997 at Oklahoma State?
I heard that.
So, yeah, then this is obviously because Rob Ryan.
He went up to LSU and gave a speech to, like, defensive coaches, player, whatever. Whatever it was he did, he went up there and gave a speech and hung out with Les a little bit. It's a good time.
Yeah, he had some good lines in that speech.
It was Rob Ryan being Rob Ryan, you know, what you expect out of him. God, how awesome is it that Rob Ryan is our defensive coordinator? It really is fucking awesome. Just wait till he, oh man, he's, just wait, he's, just wait till he wins the Super Bowl.
He's so right for us. Isn't
it's it's perfect. Right, I sort of hugged him when he walked into Nacho Mama's.
Oh, but you know what? You know what? When he came in, you know what I said to him?
Well, I think he tried to get that point across earlier.
I says to the guy. Right. You know what I says to him? I says to the guy.
So I says to the guy, right? I says to him, he's standing there, right? So I says to him. I says to the guy, get this, wait a second. I says to the guy, he's standing right there, get this, right? He's standing right there, right? And I'm saying to him, he's standing right there, me and him right there, get this, hold on. He says to him, I says to him. He's standing there, I says to him, hold on a second. I turn to the guy and I says,
I've completely forgotten what the hell I came here for in the first place, Kevin. I got nothing.
All right, so that's all the Saints news that we have
for now. If they, you know, on the next show, whether they if they sign a center or if they just go with Lolito or who knows who they're going to sign at this point. Mm-hmm. They'll find money in their vault at Gringotts somewhere.
All right, so let's move ahead to golf.
What do 17 major championships, over $6 million in prize money, a complete domination of the sport of golf have in common? 2 things. The champion and Aerofly balls.
Aerofly balls. They just seem to go further.
If it's good enough for the champion, don't you think it's good enough for you?
It is the first major of the season, the Masters. Even though apparently Tiger Woods will not be playing, huge news dropped on April Fool's Day. Tiger Woods tweeted that he's having back surgery and he's out. So some people assumed it was April Fool's prank. Yeah, but no, back surgery. Gonna miss the Masters. Good chance he'll miss the U.S. Open. Might miss the rest of the season.
So who's the guys to watch now? Is it Rory?
Me? You got Rory. Phil always plays well at Augusta. Bunch of the young guys. Sergio playing well. It's anybody's Masters really without Tiger.
And I kind of rather golf where it's a couple of guys to watch than Tiger.
Well, but look,
Tiger's slumped that he's. Well, yeah, it's fun when Tiger's just
right. It's exciting when he's lurking, when he's
but around it's the lead. More exciting now that it's kind of like he's beatable.
I mean, these guys aren't scared. You're not going to see a day when Tiger will win the tournament by like 8 shots or 9 mm-hmm. shots. Not like he used to. Not the majors. I mean, these.
But I think that's better for the sport, don't you?
It probably is better for the sport, but you still.
Now all your Sergio fans, all your Rory fans, all your Phil fans all feel like they have equal shot at, shot, pun intended, at winning the tournament.
Right, but. If you combine Tiger Woods fans, it probably totals all three of those guys.
Well, and Tiger Woods fans will leave the sport when he does, too.
But that's not really a good thing.
I'm not arguing that it is or isn't.
I like having Tiger around. I'll miss him. I don't know. I mean.
But he brought people to the sport.
Right.
Some will leave with him, but some will stay.
Yeah.
Some are stay. Is that what I said?
Yeah, that,
maybe I'm a five.
Right. But it will be kind of sad not having him around, for the week. It's good to have him in. But it will be a good tournament. I mean, it's the fucking Masters. It's the best tournament of the year. So I'm looking forward to it. It's the only major that's played the same tournament every year. There's just like this mystique about Augusta. I know I'm getting like really golf geeky now, but.
Well, no, that's the point. I mean, what's. Why is it special? Why is it just,
because it's the major. Because it's
better than playing at Riverlands.
Oh god. Okay. But it's the major that's played at the same place every year, so you know all the holes, you know all the history, all the same. You know everything was done at that course. Whereas the majors all rotate to different courses every year. Eventually, they'll go back to the same course that they played before, but it's not every year like the Masters.
Oh, so the Masters is always at Augusta.
Always at Augusta.
And then the other majors.
The other majors are always at different courses.
So it's not always, except for like, what's the one in Scotland? What's the.
There's St. Andrews, which is for the British Open, but that's only like every 4 or 5 years.
Okay. But what's the one where like the U.S. plays against the world kind of.
You think another Ryder Cup?
Maybe so. Is that
not a major? No, it's not a major.
But isn't that always in Scotland? Isn't it always in the same location?
Nope. Thank you.
All right. So the Masters is always in Augusta, and then what's the next major?
U.S. Open,
which is where this year.
This year it's at Pinehurst, which is in I think like maybe North Carolina.
In North Carolina. Fuck North Carolina. Hey, fuck you, buddy.
Fuck the Panthers.
So, when is that? How far are they?
It's in June.
Out? Okay, so are they always spaced out like?
Yeah, well, like that's the Masters is always April. U.S. Open's June. British Open's July. PGA Championship is August. Those are your majors.
Okay, so there's the Masters, right. U.S. Open, British Open,
PGA Championship.
Yep. And the other, even the PGA Championship moves.
Yep, they all move.
And. What are the tournaments in between?
Just regular tournament. The Zurich will be in there somewhere.
It's just opportunities for them to make money, or
when it's a tournament, you win a tournament. A major. Well, if you win a tournament, you get a 2-year exemption and you get to play in the Masters if you haven't already qualified.
So any tournament you win,
right?
You are automatically eligible for
the next year's Masters. The next playing of the Masters, but. Usually, like, a win will get you enough money or move you in the world rankings where you will end up playing in a couple of more majors. Okay. So winning a tournament's a big deal.
So winning – yeah, okay. What about second place in a tournament?
You still make a shit ton of money. You make, like, 650 grand.
All right.
What about this guy? He gets one of those big checks. Give me one of that big ones.
Hey, have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Right. Hey, you can win a tournament getting the majors.
And there is your golf lesson for today, folks.
No, but really, I mean, I'm sure more of our listeners probably know that. But for the ones that don't, I mean, if we're going to talk about golf, I like to know what
I mean, we usually Our golf talk usually is around the four majors.
And it's usually has been around Tiger. And I think with Tiger being out, if we're going to talk about golf as part of the show, and hey, tweet us at Dome Patrol PCast if you want us to continue to talk about golf, because if you don't, we're going to continue to talk about it. If you say no, then we'll stop. But if you say nothing, we will continue. But I want to, like, to me, that's what makes it more interesting. I never knew the rules about why I should care about, say, the Zurich Classic. You know what I mean?
So you care about the Zurich because it's in New Orleans. You should go.
All right, so bad example, but why I should care? What's next week? What's the week after the Masters? What's the first tournament?
I don't know, some random.
Right. Tournament. Exactly.
Right. Wherever.
So why should I care about?
I think it's a tournament in Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Okay. Yeah. Is every fucking tournament this year in South Carolina? Fuck Carolina.
Hey, fuck yeah. No, not fuck you.
What else we got to talk about? All the sports. Do you have any other sports? Really?
Well, I guess it's. I don't. It's not technically sports, but I did go to WrestleMania last night.
Oh yeah, tell us about that.
This will kind of transition us from sports to entertainment.
Ah, well played, good. Uh-huh. I see what you did there.
Went to WrestleMania last night. Don't really watch wrestling anymore, but when I heard it was coming here, I figured, well, I may as well, right? I mean, at least. You know, I'd like to be able to say, I went to a WrestleMania.
Pal, was that your first ever?
Oh, yeah. It's never been here before. Like, I've been to an event before, like, back in, like, 2099. I actually went to an event in the arena, but, no, not a WrestleMania. First time it's in New Orleans. But, yeah, it was in the Dome. Sat in the club-level Saints seats, which is kind of nice. You know, the view wasn't too bad. The stage was massive. They did have some seats blocked off, but there were 75,000 in there last night. It was an interesting day. Like, I couldn't believe how many people dress up, like how many people are in costume, and how many championship belts people, like replica championship belts that people have. I must have saw at least 50 or 60 belts. But, I mean, it was wild, man. People dressed up as everything. It was
it's almost like a Comic-Con for wrestling, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you had people, a lot of people in from out of town.
The ring was where the 50-yard line would be?
Kind of, maybe slightly over, like the giant WrestleMania sign and the ramp were on one side, and that was a long ramp, It took up a lot of room. But it was pretty much
so when people would come out, they had to walk down that ramp, right?
Right. Like, the ring was probably on the 50 or maybe on the other 40-yard line. It was pretty close to the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But
who was the...
Well, I'll tell you what was
act.
Well, I'll tell you what was great for me. Hulk Hogan was the quote unquote host.
Oh, okay.
So, but actually, before WrestleMania itself even started, there was a 4-way tag team match for the tag championships that weren't on TV.
Was Trish Stratus involved?
There were no women involved.
Oh,
sorry.
That's not a good 4-way. Oh, you see what I did there?
Yeah. So these four teams, it was a pretty exciting match. The champs repeated, but there was one tag team that's got some guy that's starting to get over a little bit. So it was kind of fun. And then the show actually started. So Hulk Hogan comes out because he's the host, and he's like, I want to welcome everybody here to the Silverdome. The second he said Silverdome, people kind of – you could sense like people caught that he said Silverdome and starting to booing him. And I don't think he caught it because he kept talking. And then he said
he didn't realize it. Do you think it was on purpose, or you think he?
I don't think he realized it yet because he.
So it was an accident.
It was an accident. Like, he rehearsed his lines and just got confused because he body slammed Andre the Giant in the Silverdome at a WrestleMania way back in the day. So he botches that. So he keeps talking, and then he says Silverdome again. Like, he says it the second time, and then the crowd really starts to get on him, really starts to boo, and then you can see he kind of catches himself, and he's like, Oh, no, what I meant to say, of course, you know, I'm in the Superdome, so he kind of caught himself. But he definitely botched it. And he botched it twice.
If I say it twice and the crowd boos me the second time and I realize that's what happened, I'm going to try and have fun with it so the crowd forgets me.
Well, don't worry. He didn't have to make fun of it because after he's done talking, Stone Cold comes out.
Oh.
So they play his music, you know, crowd goes nuts. He walks to the ring, walks into each corner, does his thing where he stands, raises his arms. Mm-hmm. So that was awesome. That was kind of
the beers.
So then, not yet, but so then he takes the mic, and then he kind of makes fun of Hulk Hogan screwing up.
Mm.
So he talks for a while, which is cool. And then all of a sudden,
that means it was scripted, or you think he just
no. Hulk Hogan definitely fucked up, but Austin ran with it, and then out comes The Rock.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
So in the ring, you've got Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, and The Rock, who are the three biggest names in wrestling history.
Right.
Which, I'm sorry, like, that was pretty fucking cool. That was maybe the highlight of the night for me.
Well, then that sucks that you had to sit through the rest of it.
No, but it was a good time. But anyway, so then The Rock gets on the mic. He starts talking. Of course, he makes fun of Hogan for screwing up the Silverdome. So then... So then it ends with, like, he says his phrase, Austin says his phrase, Hogan says his phrase, all their music plays, and then Austin gets the beer, and they all, like, open beers and cheer and drink beer in the middle. So that was fun. That was the start.
At WrestleMania begins. So what's Triple H's role in wrestling?
Well, so Triple H is married to Stephanie. Man,
I think that's in real life too, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. So they run it, but he was wrestling a guy named Daniel Bryan, and that was actually the first match of the night.
Oh really?
The winner of the match moved on to the main event match, which is a three-way championship match. So Daniel Bryan is like the hot shit. The crowd loves Daniel Bryan. He's a small
guy. Apparently like the Rock of today.
Like the crowd just, well,
John Cena.
Not as good as The Rock. Well, the crowd hates John Cena too, but the crowd's behind Daniel Bryan 100%. So they had that match. He ended up winning. They had some.
Are you gonna start watching? Here's the big question. Well, are you gonna be a wrestling watcher now?
Back? No, I'm gonna watch tonight because it's back in New Orleans. But I doubt that I'm gonna continue.
Okay.
Watching all the time, just because. I mean, I kind of watched it a little bit as a build up to WrestleMania because I was going. But I'm sure it'll.
Is it that you're just too old for this shit, or is it that
I just have other stuff to do?
Yeah, like you'd rather watch Survivor.
Or whatever else I have going on.
Or The Walking Dead.
Which isn't...
Or clean your toenails.
Or whatever, right. Hey, buddy, I see what you did there, asshole.
Boom!
But anyway, so it was a fun night. The matches were fun. Battle Royal. You know, Daniel Bryan ended up winning.
Wait, Battle Royale is supposed to be in January, I thought.
You're thinking of the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah.
The Undertaker, the big thing was the Undertaker had an undefeated streak in WrestleMania. He was 21-0 going into the night, and he lost.
Oh, that's bullshit. I don't like
it. So, you know what, though? Like,
I'm done.
People were pissed.
I'd be pissed, too.
People were really mad that he lost.
Because it's scripted. You scripted the guy to lose. He's supposed to be...
But he's 50 years old.
I don't care. Undertaker... doesn't die. He's the fucking Undertaker. He's undead. He doesn't lose. Oh no, they fucked up big time. They should have rather not had him wrestle.
Well, supposedly, I don't know if it's true or not, but he was rushed to the hospital today because of a severe concussion.
Well, that's not
so. Like, there were questions about how it ended, but I mean, I don't know. Look, it was probably it's time for him to retire. I didn't think they would have him go out a loser, but. Look, I'm not – whatever. I mean, I don't care about a silly streak. It is what it is. But, man, people were pissed. Yep. People were so mad. Like, the Divas match was the match in between that and then the main event. I mean, I went down to use the bathroom. I mean, like, everybody just kind of left. Everybody was mad. Like, the air kind of deflated out of the Superdome when he lost.
So maybe he wasn't supposed to lose.
I mean, I don't know that. They did have a screen with 21-1 showing his new record ready to go. So, I think it was probably planned. It was just wild to see people so pissed.
Just a very dumb decision by whoever runs the show. Anyway.
Kind of like that bitch in Survivor.
We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol Podcast. Check us out on Facebook to search for Dome Patrol Podcast. We're also on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you, but you can listen to us the old-fashioned way on our website. Dome Patrol
Podcast.com.
Say bye bye, donkeys.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did, donkeys.
FBI. The ghost bird in the sky.
Their horns were black and shiny, and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming hard, and he heard their mournful cry. Yippee-yi-yay, yippee-yi-oh, Ghost Riders in the sky. Their faces gaunt, their eyes were blurred, and shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to catch that bird, but they ain't caught him yet. 'Cause they got to ride forever in that range up in the sky. On horses snorting fire, as they ride on, hear their cry.
Yippee-yi-yay.
Loped on by him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell, a riding on a range, then cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride. I'm trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies.
Yippee-yi-yay.